John chapter number 2. There is a handout up here. If you did not get one, feel free to come up here. I think I saw some of the ushers passing them out earlier. Did anybody need a handout? Everybody got one. I encourage you anytime you're in the Bible to jot things down. Whether you save them or not is up to you, but I know from experience it helps me remember when I write things down. And that's why I encourage you to jot things down. I just give you this handout to help you to catch the important things. You can wake up when I have a blank there to fill in, okay? And jot it down. 1 John chapter number 2. I've thoroughly enjoyed studying this book again. One of my favorite places in the Bible to study has long been one of my favorite places. If you're able to stand with me, let's stand as we read our text this morning, verse number 6 through 11. And I do apologize, I don't think our internet's working, so that's still up there. So we're not live streaming today. It will be up later. I usually post that for folks that listen. So we're not live today. Boy, we sound like regular Hollywood. Call us the Hollywood Rednecks or something. First John chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion, there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God this morning. And God, I pray that you would open our eyes to our need of your grace. And Lord, show us how we need to walk as you walked today. God, I pray you bless your word now as we look into the word of God, that you would pierce our hearts through the word of God, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and only the word of God can do that. We ask that we would hear what God has for us today in Jesus' name. And before you sit, let's have a song together. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Amen. You have a seat if you will. And oh, if we could just love Jesus the way we ought to love him. And we would love others the way we ought to love others if we only love Jesus the way we ought to love him. Let's look at our text again in 1 John in verse number 6. I thought, boy, that is a amazing verse. In fact, verse number 5 and 6 I put up on the screen. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. We talked about that last week. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now, as I study this, most divisions I see when different folks that have studied this put verse number 6 along with the last paragraph, but I started a new paragraph in my study. That's how I like to study the Bible, in paragraphs, and that's how I've divided this book up, and I started in verse number 6. And I notice in verse number 6 there's an order, a tall order, an impossible command given to us to keep. And that is to walk as what? as Jesus walked. To walk as Jesus, does that mean I ought to be doing those miracles that Jesus did? Does that mean I ought to have His wisdom? By the way, He did all those things as a man filled with the Holy Spirit. There's something to think about. And He asked me to do the same thing. To have that same compassion that He had. To have that same holiness that He endued. Of course, He was God and He could not sin. That's why He was completely filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't have that sin nature that you and I have. And we walk with the same understanding, the same gentleness and forgiveness of esteeming others better than ourselves. Can we tell others about Him like He did? And we know the power of God. Can we love our enemies the way He loves us and the way He loved His enemies? I don't know how many of you have read it, but I highly recommend this. Ought to be a requirement for every young person to read, those that are homeschooling. You ought to read with your children Charles Shelton's book entitled In His Steps. Every Christian ought to be familiar with that book. Everyone ought to at least read that one time as a young person and maybe again a few times as an adult. And that book is based on a verse in 1 Peter that's very similar to what John is saying in 1 Peter chapter number 2. I put part of the verse there, and verse number 21 through 25 reads this: "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in His steps." I know a lot of foolish Christians were supporting their local Christian trinket stores and buying all the little bumper stickers and His steps, and most people have no idea what that's all about because they've never read their Bible. But the Bible goes on in 1 Peter 2 and says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're to walk in His steps. Now, you've all seen the picture. You've experienced it in your home. If you have small children, or if you grew up with nephews and nieces, they come over and they see daddy's shoes standing by the door. And they come out and you see a little toddler. We just recently had some of our grandkids at the house, and I think one of them did this. Slipped on my shoes at that time and walked through the house with their little feet in those great big shoes. And you've seen that picture, but the reality is our children will one day fill those shoes. And we will have that impact on them eventually, how we walk. But God says we ought not to only follow those that go before us and give us a good example, but we ought to walk in the shoes of Jesus. We ought to walk like He walked. And let me say this, I will never get in this flesh where Jesus was, but that's to be my desire. That's to be my goal, that we should walk as He walked. Now, thank God, one day I'll drop this robe of flesh and I'll awaken in His righteousness. And then I will be perfect like Him in His perfection and holiness and created, recreated again in His image. The old timers used to call this, and I like this term, experiential religion. I would say that right. Experiential religion. It's referring to applying, if you read old-time preachers and missionary stories from the past, as some of us like to do, what they mean by that is they're applying our religion to everyday life. Saying we believe something, but then letting it make a difference in our life. It's an inward transformation performed only by the grace of God. It's not something I can do on my own. It's letting Christ's holiness, His love, His compassion, His obedience, His forgiveness, and even His forgetting. I'm so glad that when God forgives, He forgets. Boy, if we could get a hold of that. to never bring it up against us again. So many times, well, I forgive you, but 2 years later, I knew you'd do this. You did. I thought you forgave. I thought you forgot. I'm glad God doesn't do that. Oh, if we could be like God in that matter right there, that'd spark revival right there in most homes and churches and communities. You know, to have His mercy, His grace, to honor others and to love our enemies, to not retaliate, to rather take the wrong, even if we think we're in the right. Is there not a spiritual one among you that can just take the wrong, Paul says to the carnal church in Corinth? How can I esteem others? I heard a great illustration this week of what it means to esteem others than ourselves. And by the way, none of us can do that. We might think we do it. But can you imagine coming home from work one day and you get close to, in our situation, Amboy, and you see a billow of smoke rising up? And the closer you get to town, the more you realize that's in your neighborhood. That's where you live. And all of a sudden you step on the gas. You don't care about speed limits anymore. And you rush to your house. And you get to your house and see your house in flames. And you say, well, I'm so glad that's not the neighbor's house. That would be esteeming others better than ourselves. Would any of us react that way? There's not a person I know that can say, well, I esteem others better than myself. Jesus did. We're to seek to be like Jesus. Our classroom is our Bible time alone with God, our prayer time, our Bible time. That's when we learn how Jesus walked. A lot of folks say, well, I walk like Jesus, but they never read their Bible. They never studied His life. They don't know. They don't have a prayer life where He talks to them and they talk to Him. They don't meditate on the Word of God. That's when we're sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. That's our classroom. But our laboratory is when we go out and practice what we've learned in the classroom. That's where the rubber meets the road, where you put your theories to the test, where you put your religion to the test. That's putting shoes on your faith. The heartaches and trials of life that you're going to face. And by the way, you will face them. 1 Corinthians says that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. All of us face the same temptation. All of us face the same trial. We're all going to face the same thing. The circumstances, the names might be different, but we're all facing the same temptation, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, and the pride of life. We're all struggling with that. But God is faithful and will not and will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear, that you may get through that if you learn to walk. That's putting that's the laboratory of life. That's living in the real world. Sometimes people say, well, preacher, you don't know what it is to live in the real world. Where do you think I live? In the clouds somewhere? Someone said to me a couple of years ago, when I don't know where I was, that I introduced myself and we chatted for a while. They came, what do you do for a living? What do you? I told them I was a pastor. He said, oh, that must be wonderful to be a pastor. You see all the best in all people all the time. And I said, well, that may be true, but the reality is you see all people at their very worst also. They said, well, that's true. I never thought of that. But we're good at putting on our Sunday best when the preacher comes around. I hear them all the time. You know, they're yelling and screaming at each other when I walk up to the house and I knock on the door. Oh, it's the preacher. We were just having our devotion time. We were just praying and talking to the Lord. It's not the way I talk to the Lord, but we see folks in their best. And we all face the same thing. We all live in a real world. We all face real temptation. Now, let me give you this, and I need to get to my outline here. Without salvation, I cannot walk like Jesus walked. Completely impossible. I may be a good person. I may have some religion, but without salvation, without a new creation in Christ, Christ living in me, and as a born-again Christian now, what I need, the same amount of grace, even more grace as far as practicality, it's the same grace. But I still need it on a daily level, on a moment-by-moment level, not just a one-time salvation experience, but I'm talking about sanctification. Without sanctification, we're never going to be able to walk the way Jesus walked. And that's the emphasis of the book of 1 John. I cannot, without sanctification, I cannot walk the way Jesus walked. Sanctification is a transformation. That's not just Christ living in me, that's me living in Christ. If any man be in Christ, that's more than him in me. If I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation, a new creature. The focus is on the works of Christ rather than on my works. Now, I'm going to just answer the question here in a brief outline of these texts. How can I walk like Jesus? First of all, we're not talking about our physical walk. We're not like, excuse my carnality, but I think of the Three Stooges. Walk like me. And all of a sudden they start walking goofy like the person in front of them. No, walk this way. Not that way. It's kind of like, well, how can I look like... I heard something a couple of weeks ago that's been such an encouragement to me and such a blessing to think of as we were taking some of our widow ladies out for a meal. And Miss Janelle was talking about Gideon. And talking to the kids and say, what do you think Jesus looked like? And everybody get this goofy picture that you see sometimes of what people think Jesus looked like. And she said, he just looked like any normal man. And Gideon finally said, I think Jesus looked like Bumpa. But boy, that's so true. Not physically, but it's great to have somebody that you see Jesus in. And what an encouragement that was. And I say, he certainly did. He certainly does look like those that walk like him. How can I walk like Jesus? First of all, I need to abide in him. Look at verse number 6. Again, he that abideth in him. It means you don't know anything. To abide means to live with him. When you abide with someone, you live with them. And when you live with someone, you begin to take on their personality, whether you realize it or not. My wife and I have been married for, I'd apologize to my wife because one of the preaching services we're in said, how many men have been married for over 40 years? I've been married for over 40 years, but I couldn't stand up. I had such a bad backache. It'd take me 5 minutes. By the time I got stood up straight, the illustration would have been over with. So I just stayed in my seat. And I said, don't you guys tell my wife I didn't stand up. But no, I just told her. We've been together, living together and married for over 40 years. And it's amazing sometimes how much we think alike. And how much we begin to do things the same. When you live with Jesus, you begin to walk like him. You begin to act like him. You begin to think like him. That's what it means to abide in him. Turn, if you will, to John chapter number 15. And you'll find out when you study the book of 1 John, the book of 1 John is really a commentary of John 14, 15, and 16. And they go hand in hand together. I want you to see something in John chapter number 15. I didn't write the entire section down. I have it in front of me, but I just wrote parts of this to help you to see something when you look at John 15. Beginning in verse number 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit... That beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. I need to read it instead of trying to quote it. That it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the, what's that? The Word of God. We'll show you something here in a minute. And I showed this to you a couple of weeks ago when we were in 1 John. You're clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. And I in you. He's talking about abiding in Christ, living in his presence. Everywhere you go, are you aware that he's right there with you? That'll transform your life right there. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Walk like Jesus, we need to abide in him. Now verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Well, I can do a lot of good things without him in the world, but as far as God's concerned, you've done nothing if you've done it in your flesh. And I dare say that most of our Christian life, we're doing it in the flesh. We can do it with or without God's help. Well, I think I can handle this. When we get to that place, well, I can't handle this, and then God changes things. That's when we're doing things through Him. If a man abide not in me, and he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's not talking about losing your salvation, as some folks say, and some folks think the book of 1 John and the Gospel of John is teaching that is not at all when it's in this proper context. We're talking about living in His presence as a Christian, a sanctified life. If ye abide in me, and my what? Words abide in you. There it is again. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And by the way, the last section of the book of 1 John in chapter 2, verse number 4 and 5, you look at that verse number 10, in the Gospel of John, and let me read what it says in 1 John 2, verses 4 and 5. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. If we keep his commandments, he shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And again, in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, and verse number 4, very similar to what it says in John 15, verse number 11, God says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You see the comparison, the commentary one with another. What does it mean? And let's go back to the book of 1 John, chapter number 2. What does it mean to abide in Him, to walk like Jesus? First of all, if we're going to walk like Jesus, we need to learn, first of all, abide in Him. Secondly, we need to keep His commandments. And you saw that in the Gospel of John. And we see it also here. Notice again in verse number 7 through 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but the old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and you, because the darkness is past and true light now shineth. And you read that a couple of times, you go, what's he talking about? It's not new, but it is new. It's not new, but it is new. Well, it's not a new commandment, but to us it needs to be new every day. We need to revive in that new commandment. That old commandment needs to be new every day. And keeping His commandments. And I review from last week. I gave you this last week, but I want to see if you know what goes in there. To keep means more than to what? Remember what I said last week? To keep something means more than to do what? Obey. It means much more than to obey. As we discussed that last week, it means to put it in a secure place. That is to meditate on God's commandments, God's laws. And the twofold purpose of the commandments. You know this. We've talked about this many times. I pointed out again last week, and I'm just saying this by way of review. Maybe I need to go back and preach that if you didn't get it last week. The twofold purpose of the commandments of God, first of all, is to show us our what? Our sin. And then secondly, to show us something else that starts with an S. I think especially the ceremonial laws, which is the majority of the Old Testament laws, to show us our what? Our Savior, our Messiah, our Savior, to show us Christ. That's why God gave Moses the commandments. That's why God, the Holy Spirit convicts us. We know by our nature, we know that we've done something wrong with God. And we even know by our sinful human nature that it's wrong to take somebody else's life. That's just natural knowledge. We know it's wrong to lie, but God defined that for us by giving us His law. And when He gives us His law, He points out the fact that we can't keep those commandments. We cannot do those things. But then the ceremonial law was given to show us that there's a Messiah coming to pay for our sin, and that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, which all the Old Testament feast days and holidays and sacramental laws all pointed to the coming, sacrificial laws pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So to walk like Christ means we need to keep His. In other words, you cannot walk like Christ if you're not in this book. Not just reading it, but studying it, memorizing it, meditating it. You need to abide in Him. In fact, when you look at the verses that we read in the Gospel of John and you study the books, verses in 1 John, you'll find it's found synonymously to walk in Christ is to walk in this book. You can't separate the two. If you're not in this book, you're not walking with Christ. And this book will be the same thing as walking. This is God's Word. Jesus was the living Word. This is the written Word. They're still alive. And the two go hand in hand. You see them used interchangeably through the Gospel of John and in the book of 1 John. Now, the third thing on your list to how can I walk like Jesus? Abide in Him. Secondly, to keep His commandments. And thirdly, to walk in the light. To walk in the light. And here again, we see the same thing, just a different picture, illustration given to us. Look at verse number, back in chapter number 1, verses 5 through 7. This then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we walk in the light, we're walking in His light. And if we walk in the light with Him, we're walking in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. You see that not only works vertically, but it works horizontally. Walking in the light, walking in the presence of Jesus, abiding in Him. And that light, and you think of what the Bible refers to it like. Jesus said that I am the light of the world. The light of Jesus, first of all. And then what else is the light? The Bible speaks of itself as the light of the Bible. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. To walk in the light is to walk with Jesus, to walk in the Bible. And look again at verse number 9. I didn't read the verse. We need to read them again. Verse number 9, 10, and 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Well, I love God. I just don't love God's people. God has some things to say about that. He that loveth not his brother, or he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And again, we talk about experiential religion. Does my religion affect my life? My relationship with God ought to reflect my relationship with others. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, and I put this verse down there, and you can see, fill in the blanks here. Do you read through it? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a what? You said it, not me. God said it, not me. If I called you a liar, you'd probably be offended. Well, I love God. I just can't speak to so-and-so. We just got this agreement. I don't talk to them. They don't talk to me. We don't look at them. They don't look at... You don't love God like you think you do. If you can't love your brother, you don't love God. You're lying to yourself. God says in chapter 2, you're walking in darkness. You don't even know what you're stumbling at. That's no wonder you can't get victory because you're stumbling in the darkness. And you ever walk through the... I'm one of these people, the older I get, the more I become this way. I need a nightlight in the house. Because I got to get up multiple times at nighttime and I want to see where I'm going when I get up. Especially when you're sleeping in a strange place. When I travel, I usually carry some kind of nightlight with me because I'm going to get up at night and I want to know where I'm at. And I don't even know what side of the bed to get out of the light there. And I've been walking into the walls and stepping on things and everything. I want to know where I don't like to stumble in the darkness. And many people go through their Christian life stumbling in the darkness because there's somebody that they're at odds with. If a man say that I love God and hateth his brother, in chapter number 4 and verse 20 and 21, he's a liar, for he that loveth his brother whom he hath, he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, and he who loveth God love also his brother. You see the first two commandments. Remember what Jesus said, all the law and the prophets are on these two commandments. Then multiple times in the Bible. We're to love first what? Or who? God. With all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And then we're to love others. Those are the everything's based on those two. And you can't have one without the other. If one's true, the other one's going to be true. We're talking about walking like Jesus. And those are great. And by the way, I can't love Jesus the way I should without His grace. We only love Him because He first loved us. I can't love others the way I should without His grace. And I fall far short of that. Without His grace, I can't do it. I can't keep His commandments. Some of us have a hard time memorizing things. We're not good students. We're not exceptionally good readers. We have to make ourselves do that because we realize I've got to get into the Word of God. I've got to get the Word of God in my mind. I've got to get it in my heart. If I want to walk with Jesus, I want to keep His commandments. I want to abide in Him and live in the Word of God. I want to practice what the Word of God teaches. And let me just give you a review here. Without the new birth, I cannot begin to walk as Jesus walked. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and we cannot begin to be the people God wants us to be unless we've been born again. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, say amen. You know Him as your Savior. I know I'm speaking to people that have made professions of faith that say we're Christians, we've been born again. Thank God for salvation. Without that, we can't begin to walk like Him. And without sanctification, that's a word that scares a lot of people. That's a word that ought to be very familiar to us. Without sanctification, I cannot continue to walk as Jesus walked. And biblical sanctification, where the word sanctification is also translated separation, separated, or holy, holiness. It's a setting apart for God. It comes after salvation. Now, positionally, we're sanctified, we're holy in God's eyes. God doesn't see us as sinners anymore, but we still sin, which strains our relationship with Him. That's a whole other message. We'll get to that eventually. Sanctification is something that's a continual process. Salvation was a one-time thing, but sanctification is a lifelong thing until we have our perfect bodies. Then we will be fully sanctified like Him, where we will be like Him. It comes after salvation. We learn to die to ourselves and allow Christ to live in us. And I emphasize again, this is all of God's grace. It's not me trying harder to, you know, I need to forgive somebody. I need to learn how to forgive. No, you need to walk with Jesus and God will forgive them through you. Well, I need to control this bad habit in my life. No, you need to walk with Jesus and God will give you the grace to get through this. You see, we get it all backwards. We think, well, I got to try harder to work, do better. And no, we need to just walk with Jesus. If I yield myself to Him, He does the work of transformation. And so many times we're frustrated in our life because we get that backwards. We try to change our behavior. We try to change. We get 12 step, 13 step, 40. We can have 100 steps. We can change nothing until we give ourselves to Jesus and let Him work through us. Let Him do the transformation through sanctification. Learn what it is to abide in Him, to keep His commandments, to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. And thank God that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's just the start, is the forgiveness and the cleansing. Transformation is what comes when we walk with Him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your